Good morning and welcome. I think the mic is working. I was told to just talk, and so hopefully that is not an issue this morning. I think I severely underestimated the size of the audience. I thought I was going to get off fairly lucky since the end of the semester has come, but I see that a lot of people here are here for graduations and things of that nature. We certainly welcome you into our midst here. It's been a pleasure and an honor to study and worship with you this morning. I want to thank my brothers, Josh and Tyler and Nathan Goble, for coordinating so well the songs and the reading and the head of the Lord's Supper. Nathan and I didn't coordinate on the reading, but I think we have a Nathan connection right now, and Genesis chapter 22 worked out very well. So thank you for that. I wanted to focus a little bit on something that I've been thinking about for quite some time, and that is our spiritual journey. I know, at least for me, I spend a lot of time talking to people about why I am where I am. Those of you that don't know, I'm currently in pharmacy school. Back in 2015, I decided to quit my job in the oil and gas industry and decided to apply at Walgreens as a pharmacy technician. And since then, I've been in pharmacy school trying to go a completely different path than what I started out doing. And so oftentimes I have the opportunity to tell people why I am where I am. And that becomes a very convoluted story. So I'm not going to tell you any more about my story, but I wanted to focus in on the story, the journey of us and our quest for the kingdom. So if you would, if I were to ask you, what is a journey? What would you say that was? What were some things that you would use to describe that? And many of you, like me, would say maybe it's a trip or a travel. You know, you're going someplace. We know that. Maybe it involves careful planning. It requires a purpose. It has a reasonable time frame. And that reasonable time frame allows us to seek our destination and for it to be obtainable. A lot of these same points I used a couple Wednesdays ago to describe our readiness and our preparation. And it's really no different whenever we consider this idea of a journey. Now, if I were to ask you, how is wandering different? I think whenever we think of a journeyman, somebody that goes on a journey, a sojourner, somebody that is a pilgrim, as we sang about this morning and as we read about in the scripture readings, we think of those things together. But a wanderer is different. In a lot of ways, a wanderer is somebody that involves themselves in aimless travel. There's no long-term planning. Maybe a questionable purpose. Is there a time frame? Probably not. And I think this is the most important part, is that we may never seek or arrive at an actual destination as a wanderer. Webster's defines it as an implied absence or an indifference to a fixed course. And I think that's a very simple yet very effective way of describing how a wanderer is different. And so this morning, I want to ask you, you know, which do you do? I think personally, I do a little bit of both. Sometimes I'm dedicated to the journey. I have the course in my sights, and I'm going that way. But oftentimes, I get distracted with the different things that happen in life. Maybe it's school. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's the house that we're trying to build right now. It could be any number of things. But I think it's important for us to reevaluate ourselves at times and determine if we're being a pilgrim or if we're wandering a little bit. And if we're wandering, we need to correct it. If you would, turn to John 14th chapter. That'll be the first our first passage this morning. It's a real simple approach to a journey, but I wanted to start with something that's very obvious. People think of going on a trip, and they think, well, there's got to be a road, there's got to be a path, there's got to be a way. And to describe this, I think that the passage here in the Gospel of John really does a very good job of describing what is our path, what is our way in terms of our spiritual journey. And if you turn there, John, the 14th chapter, starting in verse 1, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long that you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves." And so we see this idea of a path, and Jesus very plainly talking with his disciples tells him, "I am that way. I am the path." And you, and as followers of that path, we should be following him. We see very clearly that Jesus indicates that this path is known to his disciples, that it's true, that it is the way to eternal life. And most importantly, I think that if we know our Savior, then we can have utmost confidence that we can follow that path. Of course, a path is no good without a pilgrim to follow it. And so understanding our role in this journey is paramount. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, starting in verse 23, it talks about this as Jesus is again talking with his disciples and instructing them. And in verse 23 it says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible.' Then Peter said in reply, 'See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you will have followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or child or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And we can see here as Jesus is again talking to his disciples, and as they are having that conversation and asking questions that are very pertinent to us and in our reading, that the pilgrim follows the way without hesitation, that the pilgrim has direction and purpose. The pilgrim makes earthly sacrifices And some of those can mean family. They can mean land. They can mean things that are important to us from an earthly perspective. But you know what? The pilgrim, in so doing, gains the better reward. And so, in Luke, the 14th chapter, we come to an idea that is a little bit half and half. We've been talking about things that God controls. We've been talking about the description of what a pilgrim actually is. But let's talk about the calling for a second, because there are two parts to that. There's the person that is calling, and there's the person that answers that call. And so in Luke, the 14th chapter, if you would turn with me to that, in verse 16. And it says, "But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent for his servants to say to those that had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house became very angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highway and to the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste my banquet.'" So we see that there is a calling, and it's freely given. Our Heavenly Father expects us to be able to answer that. He requests and urges our attendance. There is abundant room, right? As we could see in the previous verses, or the last few verses there, where the servant says those things have already been done, and yet there is still room. There's room abundant. But those that are obedient to the call will be welcomed in. We can see that that's a very, very obvious thing about the calling, is that we are welcomed in to those that are obedient to the call. But I think, again, for us, another application is this earthly distractions thing. In consecutive readings, we've seen where our earthly distractions can cause us to shift one way or another. It can cause us to neglect the calling that's there, to forget about it, to put it on the back burner. And then one day, it won't become important to us anymore to answer that call. So we see that it's not just a one-time thing. It's a calling that needs answering over and over again throughout the rest of our lives. Of course, once we've been called, it continues that we would need to be able to search for this, continue to search the Scriptures, continue to see how we might be more obedient to God in the long run. We read about Abraham this morning in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. I want to turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter here, and read from that passage, starting in verse 8. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God.
By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All these died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar off, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land for which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. You know, looking and reading about Abraham and the difficult decision that he had to embark on a journey that would ultimately lead to his son being sacrificed. It didn't happen that way, of course, but in his search to obey, in his search to be obedient to God, he was able to test his faith in a way that God found favorable. In the same way, in our journeys, you know, this search enables us to test our own faith just as Abraham was tested. It makes us keep the goal of reaching the destination in the forefront of our minds. And it requires action on our parts to continually seek to do His will. Of course, finally, we have the destination. Wouldn't be much of a journey if there wasn't something to look forward to, there wasn't something to reach. But we have the ultimate thing to reach, and I want to read about it as it was revealed to John in Revelation, the 21st chapter. And we'll go down to verse 5 of the 22nd chapter here in a moment. But I want us to pay special attention to not just how heaven is described, but who is being described as the light, as the sustainer. Because that is really the ultimate goal of our lives here in our journey. In the 21st chapter, starting in verse 22, it says, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. There will bring into it the glory of, and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. No longer will the servants worship him. No longer will there be any accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." It's a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture of a perfect destination. And really, what is that destination? The destination is not about some place, really, in my mind. It's a reunion of man and God together to finish the course in the way that He has described so that we may be in His presence That's the destination. There will be no need of any physical things because God is always there. He is the sustainer. It is pure and it is perfect in every way. And one thing to note there is that our worship continues forever. So we don't know exactly what heaven is going to be like, although we have these descriptions. We have an idea of what we will be doing. Not every idea. That hasn't been revealed. That's not for us. But at the same time, we see that we have a purpose in all of it. It's not just reach the destination and quit. We're able to reach the destination and continue our worship with our God and our Father forever. We've talked about the journey and about being a pilgrim, a good pilgrim. And you may be thinking, you know, I want to get on that path. I want to be a good pilgrim. I want to hear more about this calling, and I want to answer it daily. I want to search. I want to grow. And one day, I want to reach the destination. I want to reach that goal with the people that are sitting to the left and the right of me. And I hope that's your desire. It may be that you haven't started your journey. It may be that you're inclined to do that this morning. That you want to hear more about the Word. That you want to be encouraged by your brethren. You may need the prayers of the church. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, He said, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whatever your need is this morning, why don't you come and give yourself to Jesus and be encouraged as we stand and we sing the song selected.